many of you are glad you're on the winning side? Raise your, wave your hand. Oh, some of you are just doing this. Come on, wave your hand if you're glad you're on the winning side tonight. I'm glad as a 13-year-old boy in total darkness, knew nothing about salvation, heard about it, but I got around an old-fashioned revival one night and went forward, knelt at the mourner's bench, deacon put his arm around and said, "Jamie, you trust Christ?" And I'm glad I said yes to Christ that night. And the town, you've heard me tell this bit before, I enjoy telling whether you do or not. The town drunk got saved that night, and we both stood there, walked out, and became Baptist preachers. That's, we need revival today if we're going to get God called Baptist preachers, what we need. But the Lord's been good to me. People say, "Preacher Lashley, how long are you going to keep preaching?" Or they wonder what about it. And, well, Lord, I thought to call to preach 3 or 4 years and went off to school. I believe the Lord is in it. I'd never gone to college, so I hadn't played a little football. And all that time, I felt down and deep that the Lord had called me. I just didn't think I could do it. Well, you can't without the Lord's help now. You can't do it. During my junior year down to Hattiesburg, the athletic dormitory, I believe maybe the last time God had ever called me. And I felt that night I had to make a decision. Got out on the college golf course, got down on the green, and said, "Lord, if I make the worst preacher ever got behind a pulpit, I'm going to preach." And I might be the worst preacher ever got behind a pulpit, but I've been at it for ever since 1953 during spring practice. And I'm going to keep preaching. And I retired from the pastoring, but I'm not going to. As long as people want, they call me up to preach, I'm going. As long as I'm able to get in the pulpit, I'm going to preach. And the Lord didn't say preach till you get a certain age. But I think when they quit having me, and I don't ask anybody to let me preach, but I'll go when they call me. And when the Lord's through in me, I'll know it. Well, it's good to be saved, isn't it? Good to be saved. And I heard a preacher, I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to preach this, give you a little nugget before I preach tonight. This morning I heard a preacher say, if you have been born again, now listen, if you've been born again, you're hid with Christ in God. And the devil can't touch you. Now he can tempt you. But you're hid with Christ in God. And you know what? If you're hid with Christ in God, God never dies, so you'll never die. Isn't that great? I mean, I just had to tell you about that. Jesus said in John 11:26, whosoever liveth, most of you look like you're living tonight. Some of you look already about ready to go to sleep on me. But he said, whosoever liveth, all you got to do is liveth, Jesus said, and shall believe on me. I mean, receive him into your heart. It's not joining the church and getting baptized. But, I mean, in your heart, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never die. Isn't that something to about shout about 5 minutes on tonight? And one day, just think of we who've been saying, I'm going to preach and I'm just testifying a little bit. You don't charge me anything extra for this week. One day, we who have been born again are hid with Christ in God. That's what the new birth will do for you. One day, we'll close our eyes here. We won't die. We'll just wake up in the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I better get to preaching here. Are you going to? Anyway, turn your Bibles, please, to Philippians, the 3rd chapter. I'm not going to preach on these 2 verses. I'm just it's a basis for my message tonight. Philippians, page 1260 in your old Scofield Reference Bible, King James Version. Somebody say amen right there. Chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Is this thing on? Yeah, it is. reaching forth on things of before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that Brother Jody's given me tonight, Lord, to come here and stand behind this pulpit. Lord, it's a privilege to just lift up the name of Jesus, brag on Jesus. But Lord, I need your help, and would you help me tonight? And speak to hearts. Lord, may people be helped. I don't want to just come up here and take their time. I want to preach the word of God. Lord, lift up Jesus and help people spiritually here tonight. So may the Holy Spirit take the word of God and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and speak to people's hearts, I beg you. And we'll praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I want to speak to you tonight. I've almost thought about changing after Brother Jody's message this morning, but I'm going to preach on the new year coming in too. You get two shots at it today. But I want to look at some proper views for the new year. And people have made, and the last few days, been making all kinds of resolutions for the new year. And one of the most common is lose weight. They've gained 5 or 10 or 15, 20 pounds, they've making vows that they're going to lose weight. I saw a picture of a heavy woman. I'll say a woman, pleasantly plump, we'll put it that way. She got on the scales, and when she saw the down there, looked down, she had a pistol going to shoot that weight indicator there. I can understand. But some people make resolutions to quit drinking. I mean, that's one of the best resolutions. I don't know if anybody drinks alcoholic beverages or not in here, whiskey, beer, wine. If you do, one of the best resolutions you could make is never touch that junk the rest of his days on this earth. You ought to make that. I mean, nothing ever good eternally comes out of a liquor bottle, a wine bottle, or a beer bottle. But death, hell, and destruction. I better not. I'm not preaching on drinking tonight. I just tell you that some people make that resolution. Then also some people may have been addicted to smoking cigarettes. You say, preacher, can a person smoke cigarettes and go to heaven? Yeah, you can go to heaven. It'll just get you there quicker. But I remember when I was a boy, that was before they realized that cigarettes are harmful to the body. Most of those old preachers around Saudi there, I mean, they were full of the Holy Spirit. And they had revival. They'd run and jump. And lucky strikes and camels would jump up and down. They have just a white shirt on, no tie. And that lucky strikes and camels would jump it up and down their pocket. And they were good people. Good people. And so anyone here tonight, if you're addicted to tobacco, it'd be a good time to make a resolution to quit. And God will bless you if you'll do it. Then some people make resolutions, quit watching so much television, 3, 4, 5 hours a day, average person, and you probably need to make a resolution to cut it in half anyway. You'd be better off. But let me just mention some positive, spiritual resolutions we should make. First of all, if you're a member of this church, you ought to make a resolution to be faithful to this church. I mean, you ought to be here every time the door opens. I mean, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time there's a revival, you ought to be here every time. You say, well, my kids have got to get their, do their homework and all like that. Listen, my wife and I, brought our three kids to church for every revival. I'm glad they come. Herb Mays Jackson, B.R. Lincoln, they need to hear people like that. And didn't hurt them. One's an electrical engineer and two of them have a master's degree, so it didn't hurt them to come to every service. By the way, if you're going to raise your children for God, you ought to have them here every time the door opens. Let them know where you're going to go. All right, Other positive resolutions that we need to make, we need to read. When I was 15, I got saved at 13, and 15, I've told you before, but I want to challenge you right here. My teacher in a Saudi Methodist church, everybody in Saudi Methodist church believed the Bible. It wasn't a liberal in Saudi Methodist church at that time. And this dear lady, Jessie Lovelady, she challenged her teens to read the Bible through in a year. She said, if you'll read 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday, you can read the Bible through a year. And I don't know how many other young people made that resolution and did it. But I started out when I was 15 years old. Did you understand? No, a lot of it didn't. Still a lot of it that I don't understand reading the Bible. But I've started reading the Bible through 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday. Been reading the Bible through every year of my life. And you need to go back out there as we, I'm glad Brother Gary has those methods. Now, there's many methods. I just read through a day and 5 on Sunday. There's others. But you need to read the Word of God. You're not going to have any power in your Christian life unless you spend time in that old book every day. Like one preacher said, I love this Bible so much, I want to put a little salt and pepper on it. Just take a bite of it sometime. You ought to fall in love with the Word of God. One of the greatest things you can do is fall in love with the Word of God. Do you understand everything? No, I still don't understand a lot of things. But I read it, and every now and then, see, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God. And every now and then, when old Gene gets in the Word of God, before I know it, I feel the presence of God. Telling you, there's nothing, folks, listen, like the presence of the Lord. Every now and then, I've just got to have His presence. Well, let me move on here. But you ought to do it. Now, I'm going to give an invitation. Tonight, there's many of you ought to come and get on your knees and say, Lord, with your help, I'm going to read the Bible through this year. It'll be the greatest thing. When I went off to play football in college, I thought, now, those old boys will laugh at me. But I thought, well, I don't care whether they laugh at me or not. I'm going to read the Bible in front of all of them. And you know what? Not one of them ever made fun of me reading the Bible. And so you can do it. And so go by and get some reading schedule. And it'll be one of the, if you're saved, it'll be one of the greatest things that ever happened to you spiritually. And then also, people, another positive spiritual resolution we need to make, spend more time in prayer. As the song says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. If God is God, He can help you, folks, with your problems you're going to face next year. You ought to spend more time in prayer. I heard about a dear lady, some of her down in Alabama, Mississippi, somewhere they have tornadoes. And they told Aunt Susie, one man saw Aunt Susie, and he said, Aunt Susie, you better run home and pray. The tornado's coming. She said, honey, I was praying when the sun was shining, and I ain't afraid of no tornado. And see if the Lord can give you a help to face these things. Then another thing is some of you ought to make a resolution to try to win a soul to Christ in 2019. And you could maybe just go to a friend and just say, now listen, I would like more than anything else in this world. I'm your friend. I love you. You've been a good friend. But I want to see you saved. I told a man that I want to meet him in heaven. I don't want to go to heaven without you. We want you in heaven. He got saved. Now you can, people be saved if you'll just love them and try to help them. Now I know you get to my message now. I could quit right there and it'd be worth Preacher Lashley coming here to preach tonight if you'll do what I just said. There's a sign on a wall of a church that read that I read about, and it said, first, look on the sign on the wall of the church. Look back and praise Him. Look up and trust Him. Look around and serve Him. And look upward and expect Him. Now, those would be wonderful resolution for every one of us to start the new year with. Let's look at it. First of all, look back and praise Him. Now, this year has been a mixed bag for all of us. We've experienced some victories and blessings, but there's also every one of us that had some reversals and disappointments and defeats. Now, what do you do when reversals and disappointments and defeats come to us? Here's what the Word of God says. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, give thanks for this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I've told you before, when my son had to come home from the mission field, I was walking here praying and in the dark, and my wife and I broke our heart that Tor had to come home from the mission field. And I believe the Holy Spirit right in here, I didn't know what to do. It killed me. My son had to come home from the mission field. And I believe the Holy Spirit gave me that verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I said, Lord, how can I give thanks for my son coming home from the mission field? And I believe the Holy Spirit right there just said, by faith. And I said, Lord, by faith, I thank you for my son having to come home from the mission field. You know what happened? Listen, if God's God, folks, He can take care of us. And in 2 weeks, Dr. Sexton down at Crown College called me and said, Gene, I heard about your son. I know he's had good education, he's good testimony, believes right. He said, my mission teacher just left to go back to the field, and I need a teacher this fall. I took him down. He's been teaching at Crown College 6 years. And so the Lord's able to help us. Well, I'll have to admit it's difficult for a difficult verse for me. And I don't have any trouble praising the Lord and everything's going well. You don't either. But when trouble comes, it's hard for me and it's hard for you to praise the Lord. But this verse says, it is the will of God that we give thanks for everything. You know, every one of us ought to thank God for the valleys we have went through this past year. We all have gone through some. And, you know, in those valleys, you know what happens, folks? We come to know Jesus better. And when He sees us through, somehow we look to Him and He sees us through, He becomes more precious to us. He's precious. By the way, He is precious. I start singing, He is so precious to me, but I better not ruin my message here tonight. But Penny Andrews used to sing when she'd come, thank you, Lord, for the valleys. And those valleys that you go through with when you look to the Lord and He helps you through those valleys, that makes you appreciate our precious Savior more. So I know when I first came to the church down there, many eons of time ago, and we were going to have to come up here and build the church over here, and the opposition, it was bitter. It was bitter. I didn't know why in the world that I'd come and the Lord allowed it. But you know what? The Lord had something to teach me. And they were going to, one man, they come up and told me, you're going to be put 6 feet down. They even went to my wife and told her your husband's going to be put 6 feet under. They all met one Sunday, going to run me off and vote not to come up here. And I've told this before, but I want to show you how God's with us in the valley. But I went over on the lake that morning before they were going to vote, and God gave me the assurance that He was going to be with me. He didn't say what He's going to do, but I just had the assurance. Somehow, the Lord is going to help. And the Lord pulled us through. Some people were here tonight, were there that morning. And there was that crowd going to run me off. I gave the invitation, and Brother Jody, 4 people came forward and got right with God. I don't know where I'd have come forward that morning, a crowd like that. Then they got around me, the deacons did, and walked me out of the church. And I found out later on a man was outside. I went over and shook hands with him, and he told somebody he took a knife to knife Preacher Lashley that one. But folks, when I came here, God needed to teach me that he could take care of me. And that's why those things come to us. We trust him. He'll bring us through or help us through. He'll do it with the valley. And it'll make you have more confidence in God. So let me move on from that. But let me get back and see where I am now. But we need to look up to heaven and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to lead me and see me through in 2019. And also, let me look at there. See, I've got a little bit more time here to preach. I'm just getting started. But we need to look up to heaven and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I didn't get to point two there. Let me get to my second thing. First of all, look up and praise him. And then number two, look up and trust him. Now, there's the 2019 is an uncharted sea that lies ahead. We don't know what the future holds. But as we all have heard many times, we know who holds the future. I know that's trite, but that's true. Listen, God's word, listen to this now. You're going to need this verse in this coming year. God's word, and I believe believe God's word from generations. The old preacher said from generations to revolutions. It's true, by the way, it's true whether you believe it or not. But it's true. And as God said in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not as you go to 2019. Fear not, God says, for I am with thee. Right there's enough. He doesn't have to say any more, does he? If God's going to be with us this year, that's good enough right there. But he keeps on. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God's given us the assurance from his infallible word that he's going to be with us during this coming year. So we just need to look up to heaven and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to lead me and see me through in 2019. You ought to do that tonight. Say, Lord, I don't know what's out there, but I'm going to trust you. And then we need to trust him to keep us from falling into sin and preserve us. Jude 4:24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. God's able this year, if you'll look to him, he's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I know Brother Jody, and I know he'll agree with this. I don't want to see one casualty at Buffalo Ridge next year. You better get in the Word. Better get praying. Better try to live right. If not, you could be one of the casualties next year at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Well, then also we need to trust him for Holy Spirit power, for service. Oh, folks, how much we need God's touch on us. I felt a little bit of touch tonight in this service. And we need the Holy Spirit power. We need to live right, stay in the Word of God, and pray and try to please God and ask God. Some of you ought to come to this altar tonight. Get down right here and ask the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Just give you this, what's being filled. It's just the sense of his presence. We need the sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit and need a new touch. We need to trust him for his power so we can be a good husband, a good wife, a good parent. We all need, listen, you need the Holy Spirit to be a good husband and to be a good wife and a good parent. Oh, parents, listen, you need to pray for your children, teach them right. But you need the power of the Holy Spirit to have an impression for eternity on your children. So parents, we need to be the parent, the husband, the wife, the parent. We need the Holy Spirit. Then we need to trust him in 2019 to supply our needs. And he promises in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need. If you trust him, he'll supply. Now he won't get all you wants, but he'll supply every need you have this year. And then also, we need to trust him to lead us and guide us in 2019. The song says, all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Count his tender mercy through life has been my guide. Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith with him. And I know whatever befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. I mean, I look back over my life, and the Lord been so good to me. He's been good to me. He's good to all of his children. He's good to all of his young'uns, isn't he? He's good to his children. Just mean in your heart, mean business with God and try your best. You'll fail a lot, but God will bless you the rest of your days on this earth if you'll just turn everything over to him. Then first, look back and praise him. Second, look up and trust him this year. Then look around and serve him. Look around and serve him. As we look around us, as we enter the year 2019, we must say that the picture is bleak politically and economically, morally, educationally, spiritually. We're in one of the worst crises that this nation's ever seen. Maybe back to World War II or back to the Civil War. Folks were going through a crisis, and we're also the worst crisis, as far as I'm concerned, is that the crisis spiritually and morally across America. I think we're losing the blessing of God. I've just got a few statistics here. And crime and violence, there was 1,197,704 violent crimes in America last year. That's horrible. It's horrible. And America is a drunken nation. I mean, 88,000 died in America because of alcohol-related deaths. 88,000. And I could say a lot more about that, but I'm not. I've already reached over and tapped drinking. But our homes are on the rocks and because of divorce. In 1920, 1 in 7 marriages ended in divorce. In 1940, 1 in 6 marriages ended in divorce. In 1960, 1 in 4 marriages ended in divorce. In 1972, 1 in 3 marriages ended in divorce. In 1991, 1 in 2 marriages ended in divorce. And in 2017, over 50% of the marriages end in divorce. Folks, this is a social and a spiritual tragedy. And then to top all that, we have 300,000 to 400,000 abortions a year. And that alone is going to bring the wrath of God down on America. I mean, doctors are going to have to answer to God to go in a womb of a mother with an unborn baby, the heart already beating, and kill that little life. They'll answer to God someday. They'll answer to God for that. And then, let's see, let me get back here. And morally, is America's at rock bottom. We've been living like barnyard animals across this country. One poll said 75% of married adults admit to at least one affair last year. 78% of teens, boys and girls, were sexually active before they got out of high school, graduated from high school. And Americans are not satisfied with immorality, but have turned to gross perversion. Now, preachers, I know all, get off of that. But there's probably 20 to 25 million gays in America. And they're coming out of the woodwork and they're gaining political clout. Now, by the way, I've dealt with homosexuality and adultery all in my ministry. And I'm always kind to homosexuals. One teacher out at East Tennessee State called me years ago, and he was in his early 30s, and he said that I go to parties and people have their wives and children and husbands and children there, and I'm there by myself. And it was getting to him that because he was homosexual, he wasn't going to have children. I said, son, I said, listen, he was a member of a church in Lisbethton. I said, son, if you go up to that church and go forward and get rededicate your life to the Lord and start living for the Lord will give you a wife, and then you're still young enough to have children. So we've got to be kind to people like that. But listen now, folks, we need to know what God says. Let me turn just right quick to what God says about this. Romans 1. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural. Now this is God speaking, it's not Preacher Lashley. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are convenient. And that's sad. We need to pray for America and the great needs all across America. And then to cap it all off, our churches across the country are backslidden, worldly, and have no power. Oh, this, we're living in the layout of the last church age right now, the Laodicean church age. And our churches are cold, and you can't stir a revival of the stick. And as we, things look mighty bad around us, as we face 2019. But for those who want to serve God, there are needs everywhere. Jesus said in John 4:35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready unto harvest. So if you want to, there's plenty to do out there if you want to serve the Lord this year. As the song says, help somebody today. Somebody along life's way, let sorrow be ended, the friendless be friended. Oh, help somebody today. Then a fourth thing. First, look back and praise Him. Look up and trust Him. Look around and serve Him. Oh, I'm glad I got in the service of the King many years ago. Oh, He didn't need me, but I'm glad He called me. I'm glad of that. Thank God. He's good to His children. Good to one. He's good to all of us who want to serve Him. Then one other thing. I don't know. I still not preached. I've got plenty of time left, but I'm getting close to winding up, though. So, but number four, that this year we need to look up and expect Him. Old Dr. M.R. DeHaan, founder of the Radio Bible Class, who is now with the Lord, was one of my favorite Bible teachers. And his motto was, perhaps today. Perhaps today. He lived and died with a blessed hope that Jesus could come today. And you know, folks, He could. He could come before we go home and get in bed tonight. We need to serve Him as if He might not come back for 100 years, but live so that He would come back today. And folks, all signs are right for Jesus to come back in 2019. I believe all signs point to the soon coming back to this earth, and I believe it's very near. And one of the greatest signs we're in the last days, but of the last days, is in, was it 1948, Israel came back to the land. That's the greatest sign we're living close to the return of the Lord. And I believe that when President Trump put the embassy back up, move it up into Jerusalem, I think that is just another sign that we're getting closer to the return of the Lord. And Israel, Jesus said in Matthew 24:32 and 33, when the fig tree starts budding, and biblical scholars will tell you that the fig tree in the Word of God is Israel. And when the fig tree starts budding, that summer is nigh, even at the doors. And great effort is being made for peace in the Middle East and other trouble spots. But 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. All of those big Russia bears up north of Israel, and all of those Muslim hordes are around little Israel. But you know, folks, God's going to take care of Israel. God's going to take care of Israel. Promises He would. And the rise of the European Union is another exciting sign of the soon coming of Christ. And many prophetical scholars believe that the Antichrist will achieve world domination through this vehicle of the European Union. And it would be the European Union could easily be the revived Roman Empire of Daniel 2. And with all the moral and spiritual and economic deterioration in the United States, after the rapture of the church, Europe could be the world power of the future after the rapture and the vehicle of the Antichrist. So God's got it all in place for the coming of his son. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now falling away in Scofield Bible here, that verse C says that's the apostasy. And folks, the apostasy in our churches across America and our religious colleges and the liberalism and compromise has riddled our churches in the 20th and 21st century. And we are, as I've said, we are the Laodicean church age that Jesus said would be the last church age. And then one good thing about the apostasy and liberalism in our churches across America, it means that Jesus is coming soon. 2 Timothy 3:5 says that in the last days, men would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And there is so little power in our churches today that it's frightening. It's frightening. That is a sign we're living close to the return of the Lord. But for those who want to serve the Lord, there are needs everywhere. Everywhere. Jesus said, let me get back on my notes where I should be. Okay, I'm closer to the end of my set message than I thought. But I've just let myself do a little preaching. Jesus said, when Luke 21:28, when these things begin to come to pass, not when they come to pass, when they begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now let me ask you this question. I'm about ready to wind up tonight. Jesus could come back in 2019. Are you ready for his coming? Now, each one of you need to search yourself. Are you ready for his coming? Are you saved? Have you been born again? Do you know him as your personal Savior? Would you be caught up if he were to come back right now? Would you go up in the air with him? Christian, would you be ashamed if the trumpet would sound and you'd be caught up to meet him tonight? 1 John 2:28 said, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at him at his coming. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. As we face 2019, let us look back and praise him. Let us look up and trust him. Let us look around and serve him. Let us look upward and expect him. Jesus could come today. Now, as we face 2019, many of us need to do business with God, and we're going to give an invitation. Many of us need to do business with God here in these altars tonight. You need to make some spiritual decisions on your knees before God. How are you going to serve him this coming year? Do you need to make sure that you're born again and saved? Make sure of that. He might be here tonight. I hadn't seen him, but one man came to him this morning, been in our church. He said, Preacher Lashley, you baptized me twice, but I got saved here just recently. You say, Preacher, does that hurt your feelings that you baptized a person that wasn't even saved? Oh, no. I rejoiced that he didn't die and gone to hell before he got saved. I rejoice in that. I thank God, even though he made professions and I baptized him, but he wasn't saved and he got saved. What if the Lord had called him home or get killed in the car wreck? He'd gone, member of a church, gone to hell without Jesus. He wasn't born again. I thrilled my heart when he told me that this morning. Now, do you need to come? If you need to make sure you're born again, that should be one thing. You ought to come and get on your knees, and we'll stay here with you all night till you get that assurance. And some of you need to make a holy a vow to be more faithful to the Lord and this church. Maybe the Lord's convicted you. You've not been faithful to this church. You ought to come get an altar. And a new day will dawn. If you'll come and dedicate yourself and get on fire for God and serving the Lord here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Then this is so important. I'm about to close. You need to spend more time in God's Word and in prayer. And you need to go by and get one of those Bible reading papers out there. And you can check off every day as you read the Bible through. One of the greatest, if you're saved, one of the greatest things you'll ever do is go back there and get one of those sheets of paper and check off and read through the Bible this year and the rest of your days on this earth. I started reading through the Bible when I was 15, and I've read it through, I'm not going to tell you how many times. I'm going to read it through the rest of my days on this earth. Hallelujah. I've got to have the Word. I can't make it without it. And by the way, you can't make it without the Word either. And God will bless you if you'll start reading in Genesis and next year close out in the book of Revelation in heaven. And in the book of Revelation, it's a great, great thing. And then, you need to come and get in this altar tonight and say, Lord, I'm going to read with your help. With your help, and he'll help you. I'm going to read the Bible through this year. Oh, that'd be great, Brother Joe. That'd bless this church. I know you're for that. Then one other thing. Some of you need to come and beg God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. So you can be a better husband, better wife, better Sunday school teacher, better bus captain, better choir member, better preacher. We all need the precious Holy Spirit. So, and I'm going to have us bow our heads right now. And Brother Gary, what are we going to sing? Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. And let's use this altar and close this service with a great course of prayer. Maybe if you're here not saved tonight, say, preacher, I don't want to die and be lost. Come and talk to this pastor here. He'll pray with you and help you tonight. So come right now. Church members, come make some eternal decisions on your knees of reading the Bible through or being filled with the Spirit or other things. Be a good husband, a good wife, good Sunday school teacher, good choir member, good bus captain. God will bless you. What are we going to sing, Brother Gary?
I surrender all.
So with heads bowed and eyes closed, just slip out of this close with a good time of prayer right in front. Come on, slip out of those aisles right now. Let's do that. Right. Come on.
Others, God will bless you. I surrender all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence.
Is there somebody that'll come and say, preacher, I need to read the Bible through this year? Get up and come down and make that decision and settle this thing right now. Come on. I'll guarantee you God will bless you if you do it.
All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender. Savior, I surrender all.
Sing one more verse, Brother Gary.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. They're playing through softly. If you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord, if you died just like you are and there's not a comfort in your heart that you're going to heaven, you did not respond to the invitation. After the invitation is over and we're dismissed, I'll be out in the lobby. If you'll come to me and say, I need to be saved, we'll help you. No doubt about that. See, here's the thing about the Lord. He's not going to force himself on you. He reveals himself. He draws. He pleads. But he will not force. So we encourage you to make the right decision tonight. If I'm talking to anybody who needs the Lord, these things are good. I appreciate the message tonight. Praise the Lord for it. No doubt about that. Amen. Brother Jess Phipps, if you wouldn't mind, sir, to lift your voice and pray, sir, please.